And that's where the average most people will come to the conclusion heaven is up there. But somehow through the scriptures we seem to find it leading to a particular position to the north. But we also know that heaven is the home of God's children. Different from the Old Testament, when paradise was below, when Jesus Christ came, he took the righteous with him when he ascended to the third heaven, which is now paradise. In the Old Testament, paradise was below. Christ calls it his Father's house. So Christ refers to it in the New Testament, although it's Old Testament, but it's New Testament, in the book of John 14, verse 2. Look what he says. There is more than enough room where? Where's my Father's home? Heaven. If this were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where is he preparing a place for me? Heaven. So there is the locality, presumably toward the north, a farther north pole. So we recognize that Jesus referred to it. And then, of course, very interesting, it's called paradise in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4, you see in parenthesis the New Living Translation. I use different translations to bring the message across. That, and this is, we find interesting, Paul, that I was caught up to paradise. Totally different to the rich man and Lazarus that was in paradise, but paradise was underneath. Yeah, paradise is up because Jesus relocated paradise at this particular point in time, that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Now notice what it's saying. I heard things so astounding. What does that mean to you and me? What does it refer to? Well, several things. Life and activity. So there's life, there's activity. What life? What activity? Ask those questions. Don't be afraid to ask those questions. I heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. Jesus never said anything about it or shared a lot about it. Paul never shared anything about it. He just refers to it. And we're going to get into that in a minute. It's also called not only paradise, but the heavenly Jerusalem. And then we find in the book of Revelation, this whole new city that's out there is coming to earth. Man, this sounds like a lot of science fiction to me. I don't know about you. And as you read this stuff and I read it to you, you may even have the audacity to ask me, what have you been smoking? No human is allowed to tell the things that he observed, heard, seen. The heavenly Jerusalem, Hebrews 12, 22. New Living Translation. Now you have come to Mount Zion. Notice, to the what? The city of the living God. So now we recognize from scriptures, it seems to be north, right? We recognize there's activity. We recognize there is life. Now we have another description. It's a city. How big's the city? The city of the living God. When this new city eventually comes down to planet Earth, it takes over, I think, over half of America, the size of this new city, coming down to Jerusalem, over the half the size of America. The heavenly Jerusalem. And to how many? Countless thousands. So what are countless thousands? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. So many angels? Yep. I don't see them. You don't have to see them. You don't see electricity, but you'll feel it. And to countless thousands of angels. Notice though, in a joyful gathering. Now, there's life, there's activity, there's thousands and thousands of angelic beings, and there's joyfulness. Who wants to go to that place? I don't want to go there. Who wants to go to hell? None of you? Oh, I hear that. Oh, well, I'll go to hell and I'll just have a party with my friends. We'll rock hell. Yeah, sure. You'll rock, my mate. But there's got to be a precondition to get to heaven. Not everybody goes to heaven. There must be preconditions to get to heaven. And the Bible refers to that as born again. We are born into this world as sinners, but we've got to have a time in our life when we become followers of Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior, and start operating within the realms that God has laid out in the Bible to qualify to go to this place called heaven, the new heavenly Jerusalem. And then it's also called another thing very great, which is the kingdom in 2 Peter 1 verse 11. And that's amazing scripture as well, in the sense of that God will give you a grand entrance. Where? Into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So where's this kingdom? In heaven. We know the kingdom of God is on earth now through the message. So what do we know about heaven? What do we know about our future home? I'll tell you, a little more than when we started 15 minutes ago. A little more. We didn't know much. But as in many instances, knowledge about this place, heaven, is wholly a matter of what the Bible says about. We can conjecture a whole lot of stuff. We can formulate a whole lot of stuff. We can assume a lot of things. We can jump to conclusions a lot of things. But at the end of the day, all we have is what the Bible says. If you don't know the Bible, you don't know heaven. If you don't know much about the Bible, you don't know much about the heavens. If you know nothing about the Bible, you know nothing about heaven. Because it's only in the Bible that we can learn about it as God has revealed it to us through men and women. It has been said that men really know nothing of heaven from experience, since none have returned to tell about it. Like last Sunday, it's amazing to see how many are here this morning, because I thought after last week's message, we've dwindled down to a quarter. It's good to see a full house again this morning. So obviously I can take it a step further again and push the envelope. It has been said that men really know nothing of heaven from experience, since none have returned to tell of it except three. And we know the Old Testament, Enoch. He was and he disappeared. His whole body disappeared. We know that. Elijah. So what do we have? Two folks in the Old Testament that we haven't heard from that are gone. They just disappeared. I don't know if it's a UFO that took them. I don't know if aliens hijacked them. Maybe the stuff coming out from the Trump administration will reveal a little bit more to us. There are, however, three experienced witnesses about heaven. Number one, Jesus. He came from heaven. He is in heaven. He's a valid testimony. His testimony is valid. Paul, and also the Apostle John. John that was taken up and given the full revelation And that's why we have the book of Revelation from what he has seen. Now, yes, there are people in this day and age that have gone, so-called, gone to heaven. And they've had the experiences in heaven. And God sent them back and they've written books and made millions. Others, Christians, have gone to heaven and they've played with Jesus in the water and splashed water in Jesus' face. And they were having a ball in heaven. But Jesus said, it's time to go back to earth. Blah, blah, blah. Junk. We are bringing it down to our level. Heaven is also known as a place of beauty. Various inhabitants in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22, 23, 24. You have now come to Mount Zion, which we read earlier on, and to the heavenly Jerusalem. This is the city of the living God, where thousands and thousands of angels have come to celebrate, are joyful. Yeah, you will find who? All of God's dearest children. So number one, to qualify, we must become a child of God. But aren't we all born children of God? No? Oh, you are so selective this morning. We are all born sinners. But we need to become born again. And in becoming born again, you become a child of God. Now notice what it says. Yeah, you will find all of God's dearest children whose names are written in heaven. I've got a name, my name written down in heaven. And as you study the word of God and you come to the end of the book of Revelation, you will also understand and discover that there's a book that's going to be opened, and that book is the book of life. And if your name is not found in that book of life, which is in heaven, you will go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. Wow! I never knew all this stuff. Well, now you know. And once you know, you can't unknow. You can never learn less. You can only learn more. And now you have some information about what heaven is like, where heaven is, what's happening in heaven, the joyfulness in heaven, and that children of God's names are written in heaven, and there you will find God himself. So is he restricted to that locale? No, he's not. He's omnipresent. But that's where his throne is, who judges everyone. Yeah, also are what? The spirits of those good people who have been made perfect. And Jesus is here. So where's Jesus? He's in heaven. The Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So now we seem to have thrones. God the Father, God the Son. But yet you don't find a throne for the Holy Spirit. Is that immaterial? No, there's reasons for all these things. But Jesus is here. He ascended on high. He is the one who makes God's new agreement, covenant. We just read or heard the song about the new covenant. He's the one, Christ, that's made the covenant. He's the one who makes God's new agreement with us. And his sprinkled blood says much better things than the blood of Abel. Okay, now there's sprinkled blood in heaven. Where's the sprinkled blood in heaven? On the mercy seat. But isn't Jesus himself the mercy seat? So we don't understand much of this, but yet it's a reality. And just because I don't fully comprehend it doesn't make it not real. And you and I am so confined to this earth that we live our entire life around this earth, not realizing it's only a matter of time before we go. I mean, it's a shock to our nation, or maybe for others they may celebrate, but it's a shock that Senator Lindsey Graham passed away last night. 71 years old. I mean, That narrows it. A man, 71, he's gone. Where's he gone? I can't tell you. Only God knows where he's gone. Because there are only two places. If there's a heaven, there's got to be something different. So if my name is not in heaven, my name's got to be somewhere else. There's only two places. Heaven, hell. There's only God and there's only Satan. There's no in between. The eternal kingdom of God. As in many instances, knowledge about the place is wholly a matter of what God said it is. Look at Revelation 21, 27. Once again, we get a description of what's going on here. It's a place, possibly north, inhabitants, and yet the Bible says, nothing unclean. No one who does anything detestable and no liars will ever enter it. Only those, here comes that phrase again, only those whose names is written where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. Now there's books. Now there's records. Everything is recorded. I mean, this must be one heck of a computer system. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter it. So, of course, sitting in this building this morning, the natural question is, how do I get my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Through Jesus Christ. The minute I accept Jesus Christ, I'm adopted into the family of God. And I've got to walk within those perimeters that God has laid out for me to walk as a child of God. So we recognize that only certain people are going to get there. You've got to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life because it's a place of holiness. Wherever God is, that's holiness in that particular sense. Now something interesting. In Revelation 19 verse 1, we find a description given to the apostle. Apostle John. We're looking forward, Heather and I, September. We're going to the seven churches in Turkey. And we're looking forward to experience that ourselves. In Revelation 19 verse 1, after this I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven. Doing what? What does that prove? No New Englanders. With the chosen frozen. After this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting. What is a vast crowd? You know, this soccer World Cup has been feverish. I used to play soccer in South Africa. But looking at this World Cup, listening to those guys in the stadium, chanting, making a noise, singing for 90 solid minutes. I think America's got the fever now. This whole World Cup has revolutionized our country. In a good way, though. In a good way. In the stadium where England played, I think they said there were 65,000 people. I don't know the stadium in Kentucky. I don't know how many are there. But that seems to have been more jam-packed than the one in Miami. But imagine, not 65,000. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands shouting like the guys in the stadiums at the soccer match. And what were they shouting? You want to try that? I'm going to count to three and all of us shout praise the Lord. One, two, three.
Praise the Lord!
Get used to it. Oh, my ears. Get used to it. I don't like this church. It's too noisy. Oh, I've heard that so many times. Oh, you're so energetic. You're so passionate. This church is so loud. Praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Try and picture the scene. Nothing like you can imagine down here. In the presence of the Creator that created everything. In the presence of God that loved us so much that gave His one and only Son. In the presence of angelic beings that are adoring Him and worshiping Him. In the presence where nothing evil will ever be present. It's just joyfulness all around. Joyfulness. I don't know about you. I ain't going to miss this place. I don't care what the GPS says. I don't know where the GPS is going to take me. I'm heading that way. I'm heading north. Not to Canada, not to Maine. I'm heading north. Praise the Lord, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And then we have an even better, more vivid description in Revelation chapter 5. And we're going through 11, 12, 13, I think it is. Then I looked again and I heard the voices now of what? Wow, there's so many angels. But I thought a third of the angels rebelled against God. They not there? No, they're not there. They got another place waiting for them and there's no air conditioning. I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne. So what do we notice? Throne. Life, activity in heaven. Nothing unclean, possibly north, around the throne and of the living beings and elders. And verse 12, and they sang in a what? Wow, guys, we sing this song here quite often. Worthy is the Lamb. Billy gets that song every now and then. Worthy is the Lamb. And these millions and millions and millions. How big is heaven? Oh, I know. Jesus says, my Father's home is many rooms. In other words, there's enough room for everybody. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered. Referring to Jesus. He was the Lamb slaughtered. Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Go on and go on and go on. I don't know what this atmosphere is going to be like. All I can say is glorious. All I can say, I want to be there. I don't want to miss this for anything in the world. Oh, you just let your imagination go. Well, what else can I let go? I can't let go of my weight. I'm trying to. Do you know it's so very unfair that you really want to lose some weight and you get so excited in losing a pound or two and then within three meals you gain 3 pounds. No, come on, man. And do you know mosquitoes are invented by the devil? They're bloodsuckers. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing? Man. And this is something that you struggle to wrap your head around. And then I heard every creature, where? In heaven and on earth. And what's under the earth? And in the sea, stuff in the sea singing. They sang blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne. And notice, to the Lamb. You saw that the kingdom is forever, and here it is solidified on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. The new covenant between Jesus and God has been established, and you and I am part of this new covenant. And now, of course, I want to move on a little bit and just try and wrap this. I'm wrapping it a little early this morning. How far is heaven from earth? We know the distance to the sky. We kind of know the distance to the cosmic. But once we get beyond the stars, how far is heaven still above that? Well, of course, doing a little bit of research, trying to get my head wrapped around this stuff. How far is heaven from the earth? By new and more powerful telescopes, like the Webb telescope now, astronomers have recently discovered stars that are 500 million light years from the earth. Now, come on, we're not going into the depth. I can't because my brain is very limited. It means, or let me put it again, how far is heaven from the earth? By the latest that I've read, the stars are 500 million light years from the earth. That means that it has taken light from these stars traveling at a speed of 186,000 miles per second, 500 million years to reach this earth. Light traveled at a speed of 186,000 miles per second, 500 million years to reach this earth. So where's heaven? No. Up in the north. You open your ears and listen. Oh, they gave me a beautiful gift over here. In God we trust. Thank you so much. So what do we have? Pretty far. 500 million years to reach this earth. But how far are these stars from the earth? Not even heaven. I think we got it next. The next one. Yeah. How far are these stars from the earth? Well, according to these brainy guys, multiply 500 million by 60 seconds. That number by 60 minutes. That number by 24 hours. That number by 365 days. What do you come up with? And that number is what? 186,000. And you will have the number of miles which the stars are from the earth. The number is, what's that number there? You see, we're not dealing with a puny God. We're not dealing with a man-made God. We're dealing with a sovereign God that you don't mess around with. We're dealing about an almighty. And the human being that has the audacity to challenge God is a fool in his head. Because God is the most powerful being ever. He's never been created. He's always existed. And we want to play macho. We want to try and disprove his words. We want to tell God, I don't believe what you say, but I'm going to do it my way. Sure. Well, what is this number? How do we pronounce this number? There's it there. 2,632,848,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, I wish this water will turn into wine. Or maybe it didn't. That's why my head's like this. Look at this. This is God. This is God. The number is 2,632,848,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, that many miles from the earth. What? Can you comprehend this? I can't. These numbers don't fit into this small box. All I know, God is big. All I know, God is wonderful. All I know, wherever he is, I want to be. I want to be. Because he blows my mind. Because such figures stagger one's imagination. Now think of the great God who could speak such a universe into existence. Think of the greatness of God that could speak this universe into existence by just saying a word. Or a few words. Let there be stars. Let there be galaxies. What power is that? What power is that? How do we compete with a God like this? No, we can't. There's no ways you and I can compete with a God like this. Because just these numbers blow your mind. And my mind. And yet we treat God sometimes as just a fellow. A fellow being. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, the man upstairs. Oh, really? The man upstairs? And so we use this kind of vocabulary because we want to try and bring this God into our domain a little bit so we can relate. Because how else can I relate if I don't bring him down to my level? But the danger of bringing him down to my level is I think I can tell him what to do. And I can't. But one thing I've learned about this God that spoke the universe into being, he's got a love for human beings. Why? 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 Why did you make Adam? Why did you make Eve? Until the fall, they were happy. And then after that, oh my gosh, there was trouble. I mean, just think about it. Just think about it. How many of you have been weeding your garden? You've got to thank Eve for that. Adam was not involved. You mothers, you ladies that give childbirth and the pain, thank Eve for that. So you want to tell me there's no God that said if you go against me, there's going to be a curse? You want to tell me there's no God, but everything from existence proved that there is a God, from your existence, my existence? He spoke the word, and a universe sprang into existence. Let me wrap this thing up. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when coming to take out his church from the earth. Now, if we believe, I do, it just depends where, there's going to be a rapture, a calling up. Jesus says, he'll come and meet us in the clouds, and we'll go with him. So the clouds. How far is he going to travel? Not even putting his feet on the Mount of Olives. So just meeting in the clouds. We've got to ask ourselves, when Jesus comes back to take his church from the earth, he will travel a distance of that. That quintillion thing. If Jesus traveled through space at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, it would take him 500 million years to reach the earth. I wonder when he started his journey. Remember, he says he's coming back for his church. Where's he coming from? The third heaven. Somewhere in the north. He's coming to the clouds, not even the cosmic, below the cosmic, where Satan, the prince of the air, is, because Satan is called the prince of the air. So if Satan is called the prince of the air, and Jesus is coming to the air, to the domain of Satan, do you think Satan's going to stop him? No. He's coming into, if you want to, our enemy territory. And I don't know about you, but I think when he calls me up and I meet him in the sky, I think we need to do it. We need to go back to our childhood days and wah, 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 to the devil as we go through with Jesus Christ to the third heaven. Wah, 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 wah. And that will be the first time I give you permission to stick out your tongue. Our Lord, when coming to take his church out, will travel the distance, that massive number, 500 million years to reach earth. 500, but the earth, according to the young earth people, the earth is only 6,500, 7,000 years old. So something's wrong with the math. Something's wrong with the calculations of these people. Let me wrap up. No. It will not take him 500 million years to travel to this earth. Because he's not operating in the speed of light. He's operating with the speed of thought. Think about that. He's not operating with the speed of light. He's operating with the speed of thought. How quick is your thought? Twinkling of an eye. Earth is there. Clouds is there. Europe is there. Russia is there. With the speed of thought. What's the speed of thought? Of thought. Instantaneous. Instantaneous. And you know what? That's the God that you and I serve. That's the God that cares about us. That's the God who loves us. That's the Christ who's coming back for us again. With the speed of thought from heaven, one moment in heaven, the next moment in the atmospheric heaven. And we will be translated. And the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. You know, that flash of the eye. They've calculated the speed of the twinkling of an eye. I don't even remember what it was. The flash of the eye. I mean, don't look at somebody now and flash your eye. They might think you're hitting on them. The flash of the eye. In a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, we'll be changed. Mortality? Mortality? With immortality. What? I can't wrap my head around this. Mortality, if we're alive and the Lord comes, mortality. But not only mortality. The folks that have died already, when they come out of the grave, their bodies, the atoms come out of the grave. The Bible says in a twinkling of an eye, they will receive their glorified body. Wow. Wow. So what's the best scripture to close with? Well, the best scripture to close with is the very same one we kind of started off with. Firstly, you've got to get to know God. And the only way to get to know God is to be born again, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here this morning and you haven't accepted Christ, I urge you, become a follower of Jesus so that you will go to heaven and not the other place, but follow Jesus until you die. So what is the most appropriate scripture to end off with? Something very positive, which Jesus stated in John chapter 14, verse 2, which I alluded to and referred to earlier on. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. How big is my Father's home? Now think about this. I will not end off on a negative, but I will use a negative. The majority of the world, the majority of the population of the world is going to a lost eternity. Just think about this. The majority, I showed you some of the stats the other day from just checking out the attendances in our areas and possibly people that are born again. The majority of the population of the earth, present, past, futuristic while we're alive as human beings, the majority is going to a lost eternity. So how much space is there? More than enough. Is it God's desire that anybody should go to hell? No, it's your decision. It's not God's will. It's not God's will that any should perish. That's what he says. It's not his will that any should perish. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Had to present his blood on the mercy seat. He's not physically building anything. It's all theoretically laying the blood on the mercy seat. He himself becomes the mercy seat. He becomes the propitiation, that old King James word. He's the only one that can reconcile us to the Father. How many people got saved in Noah's flood? What was the population? They heard Noah preach. They saw him build the ark. Many of them helped him build the ark. How many of them were in the ship? How many were in the ark? Any of those that helped him? Except for his family? No. So now we can say, there's coming a time that every man and woman will give an account of their lives to God. I don't believe it. I'll take my chances. Well, that's what they said in Noah's day. What happened to them? Don't be foolish, guys. Don't be foolish because it's called religion. Or don't be foolish because it's a relationship with God as we try and get away from religion. God's word is true, and we cannot deny it. God's word is factual, and we cannot argue it. We can form our opinions, but at the end of the day, it doesn't change the facts that God has written down through human beings in the Bible. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. Have you got your room number yet? I have. I don't know what the number is, but I've got the number. Oh, Dennis, it's so nice to see you. Room 36. Yes, sir. I made it. There's more than enough room. How many of you want to come with me to my Father's home? Can we pray together? I love you, Father.